first I welcome everyone. I say, welcome. Then I tell them where to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. And then I introduce myself. I'm Hardy White. Then I offer them a suggestion. Join me now, won't you? And I tell them why. To get together. And then I confess something so I can confuse you. Oh, I'll always tell you the truth, even if the truth is I'm lying.
Holy bazooba, Butch. Look what I dug up in the garden.
That's a piece of someone's belief.
How do you think it got there?
Someone must have had it shattered near where you found it.
That could have happened ages ago. I wonder what other pieces I'll find there.
Now, don't go digging up the sewer pipe.
Nah, I moved that so I wouldn't. But if I find any more artifacts like this, I think we should do a dig on the whole yard.
Spiny already dug up the whole yard. There's nothing there but a Neolithic gravesite and Civil War submarines.
I know, but I think it'd be interesting to know more about what this belief looked like when it was intact.
This may look like an ordinary field, dotted with stands of dendritic idea growth, expanses of expectation grass and rolling circumstances, but beneath this ground lies centuries of discarded worldviews, broken faith, the detritus of decaying certainty produced from the spot where belief meets experience. We call this spot Peradventure Fields, and if ever there was a job for the Time family, this is it. We know a while ago, Lou found some broken beliefs in this backyard, and it looks like Captain Durer's trench is already underway. Let's see if they found anything yet. Hey, Captain, permission to come aboard.
Permission granted. But watch your step. I dropped a glass jar full of thumbtacks earlier.
Have you found anything yet?
I found that standing on solid ground after spending years on a ship feels weird, and I'm convinced I'm moving.
You are moving a bit, Captain. I'm trying to pull the tarp you're standing on.
Just ask me to get off it, then.
That didn't work the first few times, but excuse me, Captain. Could you peradventure step to the side so I can get this tarp moved?
Can't you see I'm speaking to someone? Stop interrupting me and get back to work.
Aye, aye.
Oof, there goes the ground again. Well, we've been digging and digging, but so far all we've found are dead people's possessions and houses and bodies, not the big chunks of assumptions and certainties we expected. But we'll keep on digging and exploring.
So what would these beliefs have looked like when they were new?
Grandma, I have some questions.
What, dear?
Well, you know, recently I went looking for my birth certificate and didn't find it?
Yes.
Then I went looking for old baby pictures of myself, and there don't seem to be any.
Mysterious.
And all the addresses of where we supposedly lived when I was a kid are in the middle of lakes or public libraries or inside mountains.
Weird.
And then Butchie said that actually I was a conjured being brought into life by you when you poured rum on a sack of rocks with a coconut head.
Oh, mystery solved. Who wants ice cream?
Can we go to the Milky Way Cafe near Ikebukuro Station in Tokyo?
How about we just get some from our local shop?
Awesome. I'm not picky.
You really take hands for granted. There's such a seamless extension of will that when you're confronted with the situation of wanting a simple thing to happen and are used to your hands almost simultaneously carrying that out for you, but you find they're suddenly not there, then your belief about the control you have over your environment changes radically. When I was a house, my desires and even my needs were met by a cold stillness.
It's the Mozahowitz Program.
Oh, where's Mo?
Oliver, you're going to use up all the oxygen in your tank. Mo will be here.
Well, it's hard enough managing him when I wasn't a fish. Now that I can't leave this tank, it's nearly impossible.
Oh, here he is now.
What's all the hubbub?
You're late.
I'm not late. The show starts when I get here. Calm down or you'll use up all the oxygen in your tank.
People keep saying that, but I thought that's what this thing in the corner that makes bubbles was for.
Okay, you caught me. But still, you get so worked up about stuff.
Because I care. I believe in the show.
Believe in the show? But it doesn't even exist.
What?
Tomorrow's Peradventure weather, partly cloudy skies, chance of precipitation 30%, lows in the high 80s, high in the low 30s, thunderstorms in the afternoon, clearing in early evening, and it should be a sunny and dry tomorrow for the Time Family Dude.
Man, this rain. I think it already filled up the pit they dug out there. I wonder how long it'll slow down the dig. I don't know, but they have a pretty substantial hole out there. How deep you think they're going to dig? How deep can you dig? When I self-examine, I hit bedrock pretty quickly.
If you actually dug through the earth, you'd only be deep for so long before you started to be shallow again.
Me?
I'm not funny anymore.
Oh, Hans. If you're not funny, why am I laughing at you right now?
All my humor is passé. All my jokey references dated.
Lou?
I'm sorry, I was just trying to help.
But that wasn't a joke.
Oh. I don't know. It's hard to tell. You just say stuff funny. I love it.
I make jokes about Alf Landon's presidential prospects. I do Joe Penner impressions and make quips about Zazu Pitts.
Sezu.
What?
Her name is pronounced Sezu Pitts. I know that because we met her on the set of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World in 1963, right before she died.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure my correct pronunciation will make my jokes about her funnier.
Lou?
I don't know. I want to help Hans. Let me know when to laugh, please.
Listen, Hans, humor is tough. Those laughs you got aren't going anywhere. Maybe they were just a product of the times and that time of your life. There'll be a lot of different Hanses in the course of a lifetime, right? I mean, you thought you were nobility once, and then you found out you weren't. It just meant you had to re-examine and adjust.
But being funny gave me an identity. What do I do without this sense of self-worth?
Now that is generally funny. Man, do not hook yourself a steam wagon to that crazy donkey.
Hans, we think you're great. Whether you make us laugh or not.
Well, we can't all be Harry Ritz, right?
What do you think of the place?
Oh, we love it. What year was this built?
No specific year. This place was assembled over time. Rooms were added and removed as circumstances and the needs of the owners changed. I'll show you. Come with me. This is the library.
Looks like a big dirt pit.
Oh, I suppose literally it is, but also literally, it's a record of existence, belief, and change over a long period of time.
I like all this closet space.
Oh, there's lots of closet space. All the closets are cedar-lined and filled with secrets, too. But what you could do, what I would do, is pull all of those out and move them into the light of the garden. Create a sitting space where you can contemplate shame and fear and their relation to belief.
I'm loving this. I hope the asking price is reasonable.
Asking is usually reasonable. Answering is where you get into the real lack of reason. Shem Jive, everyone.
Shem Jive.
I will now read from the Book of Peradventure. Doubt is a knife. Let it cut through the tangled nets of falsehood and self-delusion. Let it not cut the flesh of living truth. And although that truth may ultimately become lifeless, let it not invite the blade while it lives and serves and loves. Doubt is a doorway that keeps the predators and cold winds from the safety of firm belief. No one thinks this house will last forever, but now it is real and true and protects us. Faith is a clay pot. We build the vessels from reason and what we know to be true, and they hold these realities well until they don't. Dash them into the shard pit and create new pots from the clay of current truth. Shemp jive.
Shemp jive. Shemp jive.
Hey, bosun.
Hardy White, sir. What a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. So, I know that you are a hat maker by trade, or at least you were until you were shanghaied. So, do you have any experience digging like this?
Well, the captain often has us dig for treasure. But since we're never on dry land, that usually involves an elaborate miming of digging on the lower decks. So we'll sift through some gunpowder like it's sand, and occasionally toss a coin from our pockets in there to salt the find for the captain. But no, I never dug a proper ditch like this.
Well, what do you expect to find?
I don't expect to find anything, really. I was hoping to be surprised.
You think there'll be evidence of what people in the past believed?
Aye. Because if I say no, there's going to be some channel changing from our audience out there.
Yeah, we don't want to crush people's hopes.
No. Folks like to do that for themselves.
All right, it's time to go.
My family are time travelers. That means we move around a lot. Kids at school, or in the tribe, or from the consciousness workshop, sometimes think I'm lying when I say that my family just moved from the late Bronze Age to North Jersey. And after we leave Clifton, who knows where we'll go? Maybe back to the Saprides system to Fallon 4, but 10,000 years earlier, during the Golden Glass period of Lunarium. Sometimes I wish things were more stable and we stayed in one time and place longer. But I like never knowing anything for sure and living my life on my heels, but not falling backwards. The way a drayman rolls a cask on the chine without losing much of the perpendicular. Bye!
The wind has really picked up, and there's some peradventure we might not get our discovery within our one-hour time limit. Captain, the winds and rain. Will it put a damper on things?
A damper? Like a flu?
I mean it figuratively.
So figuratively, will we close the flu so the smoke backs up into the figurative room?
I mean, will the weather slow down the dig?
I'm a ship's captain, so I pray for wind almost daily. Also rain, since I've developed a taste for fresh water. Oh, look at this dog skull I found. Hey, that's Spiny's mom, Boney.
You buried Boney back here, right.
Thanks for digging up my pet's remains. I'd forgotten the abject grief I experienced upon her loss. So, congratulations on unearthing solid evidence of difficult human emotion.
We should get that feeling washed off and have one of our experts look at it. I got a new comedy routine I want you to help me with, Butch.
Oh, brother.
So I say, who's your daddy?
Go to hell.
No, it's part of the joke, the routine. So you say, what?
Go to more hell.
No, it's not real, man. It's for the joke. So I say, who's your daddy?
I don't know.
No, say what?
What?
What is your mother's maiden name?
Muldoon.
No, no.
What do you mean, no, no?
Your line is, I don't know.
I don't know.
No, that's your half-brother from your father, Larry Who's first marriage to Hilda, my God, shut up. Your mother, Mary Alice Who, nay what?
Okay, I'm done.
Why are you so threatened by my cleverness?
What do you got there?
A rock.
Doesn't look like a rock.
Well, it is.
Looks like a tool.
You look like a tool.
You make that?
Yeah.
What's it for?
For scraping hair off of skin.
Oh, you mean like on a hide?
Yeah, what'd you think I meant?
Why are you sitting here with it?
I'm going to throw it in that pit.
Why?
It's chipped. You can't use it anymore. It'll cut the hide.
Oh, I see. So you're throwing it in that pit.
Yeah. Make a wish.
Hey, look at this tool I found.
It looks like a rock.
No, it looks like a tool.
What?
Oh, I was leaving a space for you to crack wise.
Oh, no, I'm good.
It's a tool made to scrape hair off of animal hides. But you can see it's chipped, and the dude who made it threw it away. I wonder what he was like.
Quiet. Reserved.
Oh, this is yours? I thought...
Lou, let me introduce you to my Neolithic friends, Stone Age Mike and Kaptara the Eristrian.
Cappy's fine.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Cappy.
I accidentally brought these two back in the time machine, so I taught them English and they've been living in our shed.
Maybe they can help us decipher some of this stuff. Hey, Stone Age Mike.
Call me Sam.
Sam? What is this unusual object? Some kind of treasure?
That's a big chunk of poop, I think.
Ah, fossilized.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, it's fossilized.
And that?
Oh, I know that one. That's a poop jar.
A poop jar? What'd you use those for?
Playing a gag on someone.
So you leave a clay pot full of dung at the door of someone's roundhouse, and you set it aflame, and they come out to put out the fire, and the whole village is laid waste.
Ah.
Hey, gang. If we're going to get to the museum on time for the exhibit, we got to get moving.
Wait, I can't find my left shoe.
Just grab the left shoe from another pair and let's go.
But that's my lucky museum shoe. It helps me visualize chronological context for stuff I learn about history.
Well, this exhibit will be history by the time we get there if we don't get moving.
Oh, here it is. Had it on the wrong foot all along. All set.
I swear there is nothing wrong with you.
Thanks.
You're the perfect idiot.
At least I stick to stuff.
Come on, you two. Stop fighting and let's go.
This museum is cool. There's my third grade classroom.
Look at this. It's Spiny's ancestors.
Dogs used to be more like fish.
Granted, it's his distant ancestors.
Let's go straight to the reception and the unveiling of the belief shard. We are supposed to be guests of honor.
I've never been a guest of honor.
Not even at your own birthday party.
In fairness, it's also National Recycling Day, and I think the planet is more important than little old me.
Little? Cut it out. Hey, here comes the museum curator, Mr. Asaloom. Hey, Mr. Asaloom.
Oh, thank goodness you're here.
It's the shard. It's been stolen.
Stolen?
I imagine it was last night. We had the guards on duty, but when we opened up the vault this morning, it was gone.
Gone?
How can a fragment of belief just disappear?
Hey, party. Hey, you party? Hey, this is John Ferguson from the Apples and Stereo, Big Fresh, and a bunch of other bands that nobody's ever heard of. Hey, I hope you're doing good. I like your show. And I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Hey, Hardy, this is Kenneth Burton. Just wanted to say hello. I just been up here at the gas station and seen where you put out that message and just want to send it to you. So, all right, bud. I'll talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
Hey, I'm Dylan Niokas, and I give thanks to Harry White for delivering me a dollop of Miracle Nutrition every week. It helps keep me sane here on Brexit Isle and keeps the lizards at bay. Shemp Jai.
Whoosh, Dial Weeder Hug, Lewis, and Silleroy. Yeah, we're listening to the Hardy White Show.
I listen to Hardy.
Hi, Hardy. This is your cousin, Katie. I just want to thank you for being in my life and for your wisdom and your humor and humility and just for being Hardy White. You're the best cousin a girl could ever have. Love you.
Hearty Right will keep you right on WFMU.
Hey, Hardy, it's Rob. Chris and I are trying to turn Sadie on to the wonderfulness of Miracle Nutrition.
Hey, everybody. David Warren for Hardy White Miracle Nutrition. Listen to the show. It's like a big comfy hug delivered germ-free via pristine radio waves.
Hardy White, I think you are awesome.
Hello, Hardy White. This is Matt from the heart of the bluegrass, and we love listening to your adventures on the radio through space and time. Shemp Jive.
My name
robot boy, but when I listen to Hardy White's Miracle Nutrition, it makes me feel like a human boy.
There is no way to be a leader in Americana except for you guys. William Wayne. No, that's the drunk John Wayne said that, and I heard it on a tape once. When I was young, there used to be these tapes going around of celebrities being awful or drunk or something. A lot of times, recording engineers would secret these away between takes for people doing voiceovers for ads or something. And these things went around, and they're, in fact, someone finally compiled them into a CD, I believe, called Celebrities at Their Worst. But there was a drunken John Wayne who did that, introduced himself as William Wayne, and everything went on to ramble nearly incoherently. And I wondered if anybody was affected by that, who was once a fan of him, said, oh my gosh, I am now disenchanted. I have lost my faith in that person. Or Colonel Sanders. Or, I don't know, the Shags. Or not them. I forget who else is on there. Somebody. Buddy Rich. So, oh, I thought Buddy Rich was nice, and now he's yelling about people blowing clams. So, you know, you get, I guess, there's a word for it. Something. Disenchanted. I don't know that I've ever been enchanted, so I don't know if I could be disenchanted. I'm sure I have been enchanted because I have met many an enchanter and enchantress at these forums that I go to for magicians. And I mean real magicians, people who can manifest elephants out of thin air. No, that's nonsense. I don't do that. But, no, you're lying to me, Hardy. I had faith in you. Oh, I'm sorry. But it's a good thing that you have adjusted your opinion, because you might have had misplaced faith in me. I thought Hardy would not lie to me. Oh, I assure you I will. I'm not sure I would term them lies, but I would say either outdated truths sometimes I deliver, or alternate truth or something like that. But I would not go to see with it. I would not. I would go for something that is currently a belief. Oh, what are you talking about, Hardy? I don't know. I lost my notes. No, I never had notes. I lost my mind. No, I never had a mind. I don't know. I've lost my way. I never had a way. I've got nothing to lose. That's what I mean. It doesn't mean I'm desperate. I just have already. I lose things so constantly. And I don't want to lose you, my friend. Oh, stay with me. That's what's important. It's not where we're going. It's where we are going. You said it wasn't where we're going. Well, things changed. They changed that quickly. And I like to be flexible. You have to be flexible. You have to stay light on your feet. Something that you may think is true today may not be true tomorrow. And wouldn't it be silly to believe it? To have that faith endure? Saying, you know what? I'm an incredibly sensitive person. And oh, I have my feelings easily hurt. When I write arrangement charts for any band I'm in, I get so nervous someone's going to not like them. But I'm about to go to work for Buddy Rich. And I think he's going to be a great person. He'll be gentle with my feelings and all. And oh, man, that turned out wrong for someone. Can you imagine? But you have to shift. Say, okay, maybe that's... He's not for me. Now, people become disillusioned. And is it good to not have faith in others at all, Hardy? I'm sorry, could you say that again? Is it good to not have faith in others at all, Hardy? Well, I would question why you were asking me. But I would say, no, it's not wrong. Say, I hope and have faith that Mr. Rogers was a good person, and I've heard lots of things, and right now I think we're doing good. That doesn't mean it could change. I may have to reevaluate my opinion, but right now it's fine. And that's the way with most things. You have to adjust as new information comes in. There's nothing wrong with that, but some want to cling to something they once thought was true. Like I thought maybe my stuffed animals had souls. If I continued to think that, I would be
Well, it would probably, I'd probably have some sort of emotional damage because I've lost every one of them. And I wouldn't want to lose something that had an awareness that it was being lost. Oh, can you imagine that? You lose your watch and your watch is like, where's Hardy? Where's Hardy? I don't want that. I might lose faith in myself. Oh, that can be gained back again. You can get that back again. It's just like teeth. You could lose them, you can get them back. Well, maybe not teeth. Something. I don't know. It's not like teeth. Isn't that good? Everything isn't like something else. Some things are only like themselves, and that's okay. Of course it's okay. No one said it wasn't. That's okay. You're all right. No one said I wasn't all right. All right. It's hard to tell someone how to feel about themselves or what to do because, A, I don't know where or how they feel about themselves now. Where they feel about themselves. Yes, I would say leg area. That's where I feel about myself just because, I want to make sure that they're still there. Sometimes they get a little numb. Oh, things are getting creaky, I've noticed. And I don't mind. I don't mind because I discovered a long time ago, and I'm going to share this with you, that things are, oh gosh, I don't want to scare you, but they're not super duper permanent. So, should we just give up all hope? If all is futile, why do anything? Oh, if all is futile, then you don't have to worry about it anymore. Because I know that the moments aren't, and there are needs in the moment. Can you imagine that? Saying, I'm going to die anyway, so I'm not going to eat. No, because there's short-term and there's long-term, isn't there? Something can be futile in the long-term, and important as can be in the short-term. Oh, one size doesn't fit all. Adjust your vision. Adjust your heart. You can love this 1 minute and not love it the next. What are we talking about? Fried shrimp? I don't know. Anything. I mean, imagine just with foods, if you take things you used to like, you don't like anymore. There's just your change. There's nothing you can do about it. My palate has changed. The one on the roof of your mouth or the one in your paint set? Both. Everything is a little bit different. I'm a little bit different or a lot different, depending on how you look at it. Oh, you know, we were digging in the yard. And you know what I found? Absolutely nothing. But that doesn't mean nothing ever happened there. Well, yeah, it does, I guess. I don't think anything in the history of human beings being on the earth ever happened in my backyard until recently. Because now I'm back there, and I'm losing stuff right and left, and I know I'm going to bury some stuff on purpose. And then in, I don't know how many years, 10, somebody's going to dig them up and go, what happened here? What happened here? Is this somebody who owned the house before me left this? Yes. They left it as a signal to you. You, the future. I was here. I can do that now. Go back and talk to people who live in my houses I used to live in. It's so much easier. I'm not sure I could do it, in 100 years. It's going to be a little tougher. So we got the time machine. Once you're dead, the time machine, what's the point, right? Tell people I'm immortal, they think I'm saying I'm immortal. I'm immortal. I'm not immortal. I'm immortal. I'm not immortal. My goodness. What do you think, I'm going to live forever? Well, it depends what forever is. I just shoot for if I feel like I live forever because sometimes I get moments start to stretch out for me infinitely. Oh, isn't that beautiful? You do that through meditation? I do it through boredom. And I guess some people do it through meditation, but sometimes I become purposely bored and the time slows down. I can slow it down to a crawl. And then if I become sort of like confused or curious, you know that state? That state of looking. Then you get all sorts of ideas and schemes. I'm going to try this. I'm going to look for that. I'm going to travel here. Then time starts to speed up like crazy. I love it. So much happens. So much gets done and pop, there it goes. So will you choose just one of these strategies to live your life, Hardy White? No, I am in the habit of fluctuating. I modulate. That's why I'm on radio. Frequency modulation. That's what FM stands for, or something. Maybe not. I don't know. They don't test you. That's a good thing. They do when you drive a car, give you a little test and everything. Radio, I feel like years ago, I had to do something to get a license. But I don't remember. I mean, now, what do you have to know? Do you have to know anything? When you're driving a car, they make you know a minimum amount. And I'm thinking flying a plane, I bet there's a little true or false test you have to take or something to get a pilot's license. But to operate a radio, and to me, well, I'm not operating the radio. Again, I'm just on it. And I guess anything could be on it. You could stick a microphone out the window, and that could be on the radio. So that doesn't really matter. I guess it is the actual broadcasting that forget all that. Anybody can do this and speak into a microphone. If you had a microphone right there, you could speak back to me. Oh, I just got an idea for an invention. We both have microphones, and we both have some sort of speaker, and we are able to communicate with one another over great distances or over short distances, which I've done frequently with my cell phone. Oh, my gosh, I didn't see you stand right there, you joker. Anybody ever do that to you? What do you do? Oh, you're right here. Why were we talking on the phone? That seems decadent. Just go, hey, just holler. I know you're just trying to kid with me and everything. What is it? There's a fella on the radio right now. I'm going to go call a friend. Come on, turn on the radio right now. I want you to hear this person. Why? I don't know. I'm just, I guess, glutton for punishment or something. Or not, misery loves punishing gluttons. That's what I heard, and that's what he's saying on the radio right now, and I couldn't agree more. Now I couldn't disagree more. I'm so confused. I both like what I'm hearing and detest what I'm hearing. I both use it and I discard it. It seems both useful and useless to me at the same time. What other thing is like that? Hair? Hair, I guess hair is good when it's on, when it's still connected. There's a lot of things like that. Once you cut them down, then it's just hair. Hair floating on the floor like that in a barbershop that you have to sweep up is different than the one that's still on your head. So says Hardy White. I had a friend. Well, I hope she's still my friend. I'm thinking about it. Linda, I know I have not been in touch. But she would. So she was interested in, I guess in the 19th century, people made some art out of the hair of the dead. Somebody would die, take some of their hair, and you'd weave it into something. And she did that with a friend. She had a friend that passed away, and she took her hair, and she had made something out of it. And it was so beautiful to me. And hair, of course, is dead to begin with. Oh, it's very dead. Head hair, body hair, tail, nails, teeth, skin. That's what they teach you in some meditation classes and say, those are all the outward things that you see on your body are already dead. But it's living on the inside, so that doesn't really matter. It's just to make you think that appearances aren't everything. It's nothing to, you know, nothing's going to, I don't know that anything's going to shatter and reveal a beautiful diamond to you. I think it's just going to be putting together an endless puzzle. And you'll die before it's finished, but it's just fun. Puzzles like that are fun. A lot of people doing puzzles now, I see. And the point's not to get. I mean, the point is to get done. It's not the destination, it's the journey. Oh, you're so sick of hearing that. Well, I'll tell you it a little differently then. It's definitely the destination, but you have to have that. So it really is. It's not the journey. You just don't want to walk in a circle or something. It is good. And there is this chance that you will get there. You know? So it's definitely, it isn't just the journey. So don't dawdle or anything. Don't go play in a puddle. I mean, try to get to your friend's house. Like, try to get to Schwanz's house. But if you don't make it, that's the thing, is that you still had a wonderful experience. That's all. That's all I'm saying, and that's all the puppet that I'm working is saying, but you can't see. We have the same voice, so you can't know, you don't know whose mouth is moving. Isn't that right, puppet? Yes, they're going to be very confused, I know. Which one is Hardy, and which one is the Hardy puppet? I think I can hear the difference. Can you, though? I can a little bit. Can you, though? What's that, doubt? Is doubt wrong? No, not necessarily. Is it?
I mean, at some point you have to stop it, you know, because...
Do you?
Yes, shush. It's okay. We're fine for now. We need you, Doubt. But we're, you know, not like... not constantly. All the time. I know we're going to need you.
Do you?
Well, gosh, I don't know. I just said we didn't all the time. So maybe we do need you all the time. Maybe we do.
Oh, perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. Chance, chance, chance. Welcome to the Hardy White Peradventure Hour. Peradventure. Chance. Peradventure. Doubt.
Those are great things to me. Those are great things. They don't make me feel unsure. Isn't that strange? They don't make me feel unsure. I can float through life full of immense doubt, full of immense questions. And you say, how do you do that? Don't you ever settle on anything? Of course I do. Of course my house is built of truth. But houses are impermanent. Houses crumble. Parts of them crumble before others. Just because a house falls down doesn't mean you shouldn't build. I can't rhyme it. I will. I will get back to you. This is the you sacrifice for spontaneity what in preparation would bring you cogence and clarity and record labels and the show. Where is he going? He knows where he's going. It's like a song. We're all singing it together. We're all putting our voices in. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We go onward, we try, we doubt, we have faith, the faith is shattered. Clay pots are not meant to last forever. They get stuff in them, don't they? That's what I was told. If you don't really seal them properly, they're going to get all sorts of manner of stuff absorbed into the clay. And then you got to move on. Doesn't mean the pot didn't do its work. It doesn't mean that it wasn't beautiful. It doesn't mean you should make ugly pots for your porridge. It means you should make the most beautiful thing you can in the moment, knowing that it may... Oh, may it will disappear. That keeps some people from loving or opening their hearts because there's nothing more painful. I don't blame you. Attachments. Attachments. Who needs them? I do. Desperately. I desperately need them. I don't mind gluing my heart to something I love, and I know when that thing disappears, when that thing goes behind the curtain, it's going to pull off a little piece of my heart like that. It's going to tear it off, and it's going to rip, and it's going to hurt worse than any Band-Aid, worse than any scab coming off, and I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't undo the love, the intenseness of that beautiful embrace I had with whoever, whatever I loved. And so I don't fear that at all. Oh, why would I, something so temporary, be afraid of being ripped apart? Seems insane. What am I preserving? Why am I preserving my heart? I'm going to love you. I don't mind the consequences. I don't mind the attachments. Oh, what if I lose you? All is lost. We are already lost. And now we have found one another again, and we will lose one another again, and we will find one another again, and this will go on, I think, in a cycle, but who knows? I love to be with you. I love to talk with you on the radio. I love to speak in a way that other people may not be speaking to you.
I know, they're making sense.
That is all too common, and I understand people's inclination to making sense. They want to, and that's all right. We need sense. I need people, to do certain things for me that I cannot do, and I need them to make sense. I don't want... A world of absurdist clowns in which we take perfectly good food and we rub it in our hair just so that we can not make sense. I love sense. But, you know, it has edges. And on the edges, it all falls apart, all the sense. So, you know, the middle of the sense is strong and it works and we can use it. But on the edges of it, oh, there we can play. There we can make stuff up. That's the world I love. Think of it as a neighborhood. You played in your neighborhood, and then on the edges of your neighborhood, maybe there was something else. Maybe there was some warehouses. Maybe there was something, some kind of strange urban thing. Maybe there was some kind of strange country thing, forest thing. But there was some boundaries of that neighborhood that weren't a neighborhood, something that you could go out into, some sort of area that was unconquered, that had not been explored by you, a young person. And there... you could make as little sense as you wanted because there was nothing to stop you. Though that's where we are. We've gone into the woods together. We have gone into the spooky warehouse district. We are in the alleyways that have been abandoned. And here we pretend to be, oh, I don't know, time travelers or people that fly with their minds. We pretend to be some future organization on another planet that does something that involves taking a lot of breaks for snacks and food or something, which is something that I enjoy about the work. I love working with people more than socializing. That's my socializing, the sort of work where you can communicate and do something together, hands together. You know what I'm saying? Like building something. I'd rather do that than just sit around going, yep. That's not me. I'm like, we're all digging a hole together. So that's my idea of a good time. I love that. I love working. I always volunteer to work on friends' projects or something because that's the way that I like to be together. And it's so enjoyable to me, especially if it's like there's those of us, all right, that are not famous folks or folks that are in the business of show. But let me tell you, shows came before the business of shows. Do you understand what I'm saying? Shows came before the business of shows. And those of us who are doing shows have been doing them for thousands of years. So we're not always involved in sort of an organized commercial endeavor. But that doesn't mean that we don't have craft services. It just means that it's a friend, that it's a Rob bring some cookies. You know what I'm saying? So I want you to feel as if we have what we need now, but we'll get even more later, or we don't have what we need now and we'll have less later. Or we have, I don't have a message. I'm just trying to distract you. From what? Probably from what I said earlier. If you paid too much attention to it, you might get the wrong idea. Words are funny that way. They can misdirect. I don't want you to misunderstand me. And I feel as if sometimes that the way I'm saying something is more important than what I'm saying exactly. Here's something that is important, what I'm saying. And this has nothing to do with the way I'm saying it. And the reason I'm saying it clearly is because it's important. If everything I said is true and what is happening right now matters, then your wholeness matters, your physical and mental wholeness matters. Oh, it does indeed. Oh, your beautiful soul matters. And let me tell you something. There has been and there will always be an assault upon it. Your soul is so valuable. Let me tell you something. It's like, you know, these stories of someone who accumulate, they're fine until they accumulate wealth and then everybody wants it and then they're besieged by pirates and then let's say the town has to build walls and everything because the more wealth they have, the more people want it. Well, can you imagine having something that's priceless as your beautiful soul, your beautiful life. And what do you mean by soul? I mean the fact that you're alive, that you have memories, that you think, and that you create. That makes you more valuable than anything. And if you think that that isn't actively trying to be robbed from you, that there aren't brigands at the gate trying to take it from you, trying to get inside, trying to make you feel as if it is not valuable. That old thing, it's like taking to a pawn shop. Well, I don't know how. We got a lot of those. I don't know if that's going to, I don't know if we need one of them. I don't know if we need your beautiful spirit. I'm looking here and I'm saying, maybe I'll give you, I don't even know what for it. Might be worthless.
Worthless?
Yeah, you might be worthless, so I don't know. I might give you a little bit of my attention.
Will you?
Well, maybe I got to think about it. Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand what's going on? You just walked into this pawn shop without any idea of how valuable you are. And yes, that is very dangerous. So I am here, Hardy White, and I may be the first person to tell you this. So you need to listen, because I'm going to appraise your soul right now. I'm going to appraise your spirit. And I don't care who is listening to my voice. You are valuable. You are of a value that is incalculable. Do you understand? Well, why would that be? Listen. You belong here. You belong with others. You belong with Hardy White as well. If you feel as if you don't, or you're not good enough, or you've done something wrong, let me tell you that the universe doesn't feel that way about you. You're just in a really small town. You're here in your little area on Earth. And if you look outside, you will see that everything else, come on, broaden your vision. It isn't just your little town. Of course, they might not appreciate you. Look, you are accepted by what matters. If I, somebody as simple and crazy as I, can say that I love you, I don't see how, considering everything that goes on in the world and everything that you are subjected to and all the choices that you are given by your biology, let me tell you, you're all right. You don't need to tell me. You don't know if I am. Listen. I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for me. Because when you make an enemy of yourself, you inadvertently make an enemy of me. I'm telling you, when you hurt yourself, you hurt me, because you're going to implicate others and me in your punishment. And we will not have that. We will not have that. It is a difficult thing to accept the paradox that you are both absolutely nothing and the most valuable thing in the universe. And you say, I can't be at the same time. Figure it out. It absolutely can be. And you may spend your whole life trying to figure out what that means and why that is. But I'm telling you right now, it's true. Come on, feel some joy for 2 seconds, because 2 seconds may be all the joy you have. Right now, feel some relief just for a second, because that second may be all there is. My friend, I'm reaching out. Listen, I'm giving you, this is what goes on in my soul. This is what goes on in my head. And if I can feel that, then people who are better and wiser can too. And maybe you don't have to feel the things you're feeling right now. That's all I'm saying. There's no absolute cure forever for everything. And I don't believe in that kind of fantasy. But I believe in, if I could get 15 seconds, 30 seconds of relief for another human being, I'll take it. A minute. 5 minutes of relief. Oh, should there be a God? I'm telling you, I'm begging you. Let me have my fellow creatures. Can you give us 10 minutes of joy and wholeness?
All right.
15. Did I say 10? Let's go 15. Oh, I'm gonna bargain with you. I'm gonna Abraham you. I'm not gonna let you ever stop. I'm gonna bargain with you, and I'm gonna talk to you as if you're the creator. Listen, you may be against yourself, but just can you compromise with me? Can I have 5 minutes? Can I have 5 minutes of it, of relief?
All right.
10. I'm always gonna go for more. I'm reaching out my hand. Your hand smells funny. I know. I think there's two things that I touched recently that made my hand smell funny. One was iron. I was holding some iron, and it was an iron ring. I'm embarrassed to say what this was. It was like an iron Wing Chun ring that I have no business owning because I'm not proficient. But it's fun to play with and everything. But it made my hand smell funny. Did you ever get that funny smell, touch iron or something for a while, and you smell your hands, and you go, what the heck? And the other was my tomato plant leaves. I had tomato plant leaf smell, which I secretly love. It smells like a garden. I think tomato plant leaf would be a fine fragrance. Not really. But I'd like it in context. How about that? That's another thing. Yeah, things have to be where they are sometimes to be blessings. Things have to be where they are. You know, maybe I'm on Hardy White's best when he's in a certain spot. And maybe other times he's not best when he's in another spot. I don't know. Like, for instance, in the part of the canoe that requires you to steer. Not a good spot for Hardy. I mess that up a lot. But things like that. I wonder what part of a plane, a passenger. I'm good at that. Passenger on a plane. Crew. Ship's crew. What could I do? Well, I'm just going to admit, I'm very good at cleaning, and I know it's kind of lowly, but I guess I'd mop. I'm good with a mop, especially those old raggedy mops. I know how to use one. A lot of people don't even know how to use it. They're used to the sponge mop. I know how to use a rag mop. I prefer it, you know, to a sponge mop. That's so dainty. I'm not dainty. Do you know that, I'll just say this once again for no reason, but as you know, there was a movement in the middle of the last, or early part of the last century, early middle, to have American English, have a formal American English. And so they came up with that, and I think it has different names. A lot of people call it transatlantic or something like that. People confuse it with mid-Atlantic. That's like a Baltimore accent or something. This is transatlantic. And then there's a Canadian version, and it's called Canadian Dainty. So that's what made me think of it. And you say, who speaks Canadian Dainty?
Lauren Green. Lauren Green of Bonanza.
That's why it was so weird. It says,
I have a ranch.
Yes, you do. Lauren Green and your Canadian Dainty speech. So strange. Speaking is a strange thing to me. Our voices, they're so amazing. I have all of you left me voicemail messages. I'm putting in a song every week. And I love to hear your voices. And I hope it's fun for you to hear other voices like that. Listeners of the people that are listening with you. Because sometimes you're listening at the same time as these folks. And I may be the only thing y'all have in common. But I got to tell you, listener, The other people listening to this show, there are some amazing folks. If you have lost faith in any way,
why would I have faith? You just said faith.
I said you can have, sometimes faith can be, like you have faith in gravity. I have faith that water's going to come out of the faucet. You know what I mean? That's a sort of faith and expectation. And I'm telling you, these things are based on facts. And I'm giving you facts right now that there are some amazing, loving, caring, thoughtful, confused, crazy, beautiful people out there of all different everything than you can imagine. And they're also brave to me. they're all so amazing and brave because some of them I know, you know, I know their lives. And, you know, I know some of their challenges. And so I appreciate them, I think, even more. And I can tell you, you are an amazing company. There's so many people. And think of all the people that don't listen to the show. They're probably even more amazing. No, we're not lowly. But you don't want to get to it. Like, it's, you know, like things of value can get. No one, if people thought the show was too valuable, something might happen to it, right? So what we're doing is we're doing what Don Quixote did with his magic helmet.
Magic helmet? That was a wash basin.
It wasn't a wash basin. It just looked like a wash basin to others. Because if they knew it was a magic helmet, they would want to take it. I'm wearing a wash basin on my head, friends. I'm wearing a wash basin on my head, and I'm speaking nonsense. Do you hear me? I'm winking. I'm wearing a wash basin on my head, and I'm speaking nonsense to you because I don't want to attract bandits. So I have to take the valuable thing like the Maltese Falcon, and I have to coat it with creosote. So what you're experiencing right now is something that's had dirt put upon it to look humble. But I know that this is valuable. What I'm saying is valuable to you. I'm never going to undervalue it. I believe in it. I believe in it. I believe in reaching out to you. I believe in my fellow human beings. I believe in my fellow creatures. I have seen, I have witnessed with my eyes the amazing power and potential of y'all. And so I'm going to believe until I'm disabused. And then I'll believe something else, and I'll have faith in something else. I'll have another clay jar. I'll have something else. I'll have another adventure to go along with my peradventure. Oh, I'll tell you, this time it goes so fast. The time on the show doesn't seem to stay. It doesn't seem to last. I call out to all my friends, and they answer one and all. Oh, Hardy, you at the mall. Boop, boom, buzz up. Everybody, come on. Been a gal, mama, wonderful, baby, wonderful sound. Count them, says, I walked around in the basement and said, I don't know where I am, so I'm gonna come back on in the sharing something. I can't remember any of the words or anything. Sometimes the most I have, the biggest trouble I have remembering words are things that never had any words to begin with. So, and this only really got me in trouble once when I told a friend that I knew the words to Sleepwalk, and which is an instrumental, and his band was playing it, and he called me up to sing it. And that was a long, like, 10 seconds between my table and the stage. And I remember thinking, I wonder what I'll be doing up there. I wonder what I'm going to say when he starts. He got out that lap steel and me. And I guess I came out with something and it was so sad and everybody looked at me. I think it was like, sleepwalk, when I'm sleeping, I'm walking all the time, and the monkeys, all my breath fades away, or something like that, I don't know, but, no clapping or anything. So, a lot of times, you should know your limitations. Oh, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide all the time. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you again next week.
I was standing at the crossroads. from heaven.
Walk with me. Lord, walk with me. We don't ask you to run on the Sinner's Crossroads Gospel broadcast. You can take your time. Walk as best you can. The Whispering Spirits, the Jewel record label. It's from my LP, Jewel on Tour, Volume 1. Various Jewel, Shreveport, Louisiana Jewel Records artists. Not sure if any of those were issued on 45 or not. I don't think so. Glad to have it. The Whispering Spirits. Right before that, we heard the Five Blind Boys of Alabama. And a prayer testify outtake from their specialty sessions. Five Alabama Blind Boys. Whispering Spirits, easing us on in to the Sinner's